John 17:4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Today's message is called The Finished Work. There is nothing in life more satisfying than a job well done. The student who finishes the school year with honors knows this satisfaction. The musician who masters a difficult piece knows the feeling of accomplishment also. We even have a biblical example, 2 Timothy 4:6-7. Here's Paul near the end of his life, and he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Although satisfied in the job well done, though, we would have to admit that the job was not done perfectly, nor was it done completely. Only one did the job perfectly and completely, as we will see in our text today. What is it we do? We do many things, but most of them are not finished, nor are they done perfectly. Every housewife knows the saying, a woman's work is never done. There are always dishes to wash, cleaning to do, meals to make, children to help. Men, we have continual obligations on our jobs and our chores. The work is never done. It's never done perfect. It's never completed. Our work is never completed, nor is it perfect. But in our text today, that is not said, though, of Jesus Christ. John 17:4 says, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." In our text today, we will see Christ had, first, a particular work given to him by the Father. Secondly, that Jesus completed that work. And thirdly, that the result was to give glory to God. The first thing we see in our text, Jesus was given the work by the Father. Everything Jesus did was a part of this work that he was given by the Father. We've seen him working as a creator. Turn to Colossians 1. We see Jesus working as the creator in Colossians 1, verses 16-17. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist." You see, you have a particular work there, a completed work. He is the creator. Particular, completed. We've seen him working in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. You see him in Genesis 22. You see him in Judges 2. So we see him as the creator. We see him as the angel of the Lord. His work also included his birth in Bethlehem. It included all of his teachings, all of his acts, and all of his miracles. Since he is speaking in the past tense in this verse, though, it is this that is particularly in view. Yet none of these things can possibly be the heart of what Jesus is speaking about. For the great work that was given to him and that he completed perfectly was what? What is the great work? It was the atonement for sin. He made the propitiation. He made the atonement. He made the reconciliation. This is the great work. Turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2:17. "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make atonement for the sins of his people." This is the great work spoken of in our text. This is the work that was given to him by the Father, that he finished. Our propitiation, our reconciliation. Reconciliation involves a change which is brought about through the death of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ satisfies God's justice. And through faith, this death of Christ changes man, making him a friend with whom God can now have fellowship. You who was once far off, you who was once his enemy. Christ's great work was to reconcile you to the Father in order that you could have fellowship. We have fellowship now through the propitiation, through the reconciliation, without any compromise to God's holiness. See, this was the great work that Christ had to be sent forth for. The particular work, the finished work, that he alone accomplished on the cross. It is not a real difficulty to this understanding of the verse that Jesus speaks here in the past tense, while in point of fact, the death on the cross was not even yet completed. He speaks, I have finished the work. The great work he's speaking of as is completed already. For the prayer as a whole looks forward to the death and even beyond with such assurance that it is as though these things have already been accomplished. Why? Because God is silent. He is omnipotent. All his purposes will come to pass. There will be nothing left undone in Christ's life, first of all, and in your life, in the one that he has died for. Look at John 19. Jesus is praying now that he finished the work already. And yet, what does he say in John 19? 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He prayed then in John 17, what would be accomplished then? The same words, the tetelestai, it is finished, it's completed. We have seen in John 12, 27, the meaning of our verse today is that above everything else, turn to John 12, 27. Above everything else, Christ came to die on the cross. John 12, 27. Now my soul is troubled, then what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour, to glorify the Father in the finished work. That is the purpose that Jesus Christ came. To complete the work the Father had given him. Turn to Matthew 1:21. Specifically, what is that work? You see it even more right here. 1:21. His name even means what his purpose was. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the work that Jesus Christ came. While it is a great point, the second point is even greater. For having been given this work, Jesus did not merely attempt it and then drop it, or else carry it forward a little bit and then stop, like we have a tendency to do. He finished the work, and as a token of which he was subsequently raised from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Do you find that satisfying? I know one who is satisfied. God the Father. How do we know God was satisfied by the work? We know that by the resurrection of Christ. He was raised for what? Turn to Romans 4. Do you know that Christ was raised for you? Romans 4, 24 and 25. But also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Christ was raised because of the work he completed, and the Father said, amen. He has finished the work, and now he was raised because we have now been justified. God the Father shouted aloud that Christ's death was the perfect substitution for sin. And this life you now lead now, this life you live now, this is the most hell that you will ever go through. This is the most hell that you will ever go through. Because Christ was raised for our justification. He was the perfect substitute. The Father accepted the death of Christ in the place of the condemnation of the sinner. What does Romans 8:1 say? There is therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is now no condemnation because Jesus Christ finished the work that God the Father has given him to complete. The account is paid. This is what's so beautiful about Colossians 2. Turn to Colossians 2. This work in Colossians 2 is as finished as Christ's work on the cross. He's not dying again, ladies and gentlemen. Colossians 2, 11 to 15. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised. You also were, past tense, raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. That was the great work Jesus Christ had to do, to deliver you from all of your trespasses, forgiving you all your trespasses, look at 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The great work that he has finished is he took all of your sins and nailed them to the cross. And now you are justified today, as you'll be 20 years from now, 2,000 years from now, 2 million years from now, 20 million years from now. The work that I have done, I have finished. Christ finished that work. There's no additions to this work. He has glorified the Father. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you have given me. There's no additions to this. The account is paid. There is no legal demands of the law against us. Turn to Romans 7, verses 1 through 3. What is the legal demands of the law? Here are the legal demands of the law. Or do you not know, brethren? Do you not know this, brethren? For I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law, through the body of Christ. This is part of the work that he has done, that he has finished. You're married to another now. Married to another. This is the work that he has done. This is what the resurrection is all about. It is God's declaration that our breaking of the righteous requirements of the law has been paid for. He said, I have finished the work. What are you going to add to that? He's finished the work and he's glorified God. God's wrath has been satisfied. How are you going to satisfy it? God will never demand anything else for our salvation. Who will lay a charge against God's elect? Turn to Romans 8, 33 and 34. This is the work that he has finished. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He says, the work is finished. I gave this work to my son, and he's glorified me by finishing this work. 833, 834. Who is he who condemns? Why do you condemn yourself? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and is furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. So not only do you say, that's not enough, his intercession is not even enough. Well, he says, I finished the work. Jesus Christ was also satisfied by his death. Listen to what our text says. I have brought glory to you, completing the work, finishing the work. He had done the Father's will with the body that had been prepared for him. Turn to Hebrews 10. Who gave the work for Christ to do? It was the Father gave Christ the work to do. Christ finished the work, and the proof that he finished the work and it was acceptable was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the proof that the work is finished, that it's acceptable, that you cannot add to it. And this is the work that was given to him. Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. See, the work the Father gave Christ, he gave him a body. He prepared the body. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. I have glorified you on the earth. How? I have finished the work. What work? The atonement for the sins of his people with the body that have been given to him by the Father. The Father prepares the work. He says, I have brought glory to you, completing the work. He is satisfied. He has supplied fully what was desired, what was expected, and what was needed. And what are you to do? You're to believe that. He gave what was due for the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. He paid the debt, the obligation, the payment. He fulfilled the conditions and the requirements of the law. Do this and you shall live. Christ did this, shall we shall live. That's what the law says. Do everything that is commanded here and you shall have blessing. You do not do it and you shall be cursed. He satisfied the law. He did enough. That is the finished work of Christ. Satisfy, it's a Latin word. Satis, enough. Facere, do. He did enough. He did enough. You can't do enough. You cannot satisfy the law. Only Christ could satisfy the law. That's the point of the virgin birth. He was without sin. He did enough. He did enough. Satis facere. He did enough. He did enough. You cannot add to this. He satisfied the demands of the law. Turn to Galatians 3. This is part of the work that he had to do. Galatians 3. 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in how many things? All things which are written in the book of the law to do them. See, you cannot satisfy the law. You couldn't finish the work. You couldn't glorify God because you didn't have the body that was prepared beforehand to do it. You can never do it because you don't have the proper body. We're all born with a sin nature. That's the problem. That's the work of the Father prepared for Jesus Christ. You understand? Only He can satisfy. Look at Galatians 13. Galatians 3, look down at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us, children of God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He has become the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, He has become the curse. That's the work that He has finished. Now, when Jesus looks back, what does He say? Excuse me. Turn to Isaiah 53. This is what Jesus says now. Why shall you argue with God? Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see the travail of the soul and be satisfied. Satisfied. See, He is satisfied. By His knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For what? He shall bear their iniquities. You see, He did enough. It is finished. If God the Father is satisfied in Christ's death, and if Christ is satisfied in Christ's death, should you not be satisfied with His death? God the Father is satisfied. Jesus Christ is satisfied, but you're not satisfied. You sing the Mick Jagger tune. I can't get no satisfaction. He said He is satisfied. He has seen the travail of the soul. You should be rejoicing. You should be thanking. You should be worshiping Him for completing the work. Jesus said by completing the work, what? That He brought glory to God. Do you realize if you can add something, you're robbing from God. You're robbing the absolute glory of Jesus Christ for the Father. Let me get in there, kick in a little bit. You can't add to the glory that Jesus Christ brings to Him. Only Christ can bring that glory. Jesus said by completing the work that He brought glory to God. How has He brought glory to the Father on earth by this work? Okay? If He brought glory to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. How has He brought glory to the Father? He has brought glory by God's attributes that can be clearly seen in this work. To glorify God means what? to acknowledge, to worship, to rejoice, to thank, to praise. To glorify God means to acknowledge His attributes, to recognize them, to declare them, to be thankful of them. Do you recognize His attributes? Do you declare His attributes? Are you thankful for His attributes? Do you confess them? Do you profess them? It means proclaiming His sovereignty, His justice, His righteousness, His wisdom, His love, His holiness. Where are these attributes best seen? At the cross. At the cross, you see all the attributes. We see the perfection of His attributes. And you know one of His attributes is perfection? We see the perfection of His attributes at the cross. We see God's sovereignty. How? And the way in which the death of Christ was planned, the way it was promised, the way it was executed. You see how His sovereignty is glorified there? At the cross, we see that God is what? That He's just. His justice was carried out. The wages of sin is death. You see His justice. You see His sovereignty. You see His justice. We see God's righteousness in recognition of the fact that only Jesus, the righteous one, could pay sin's penalty. If you're going to add, you're taking away from God's righteousness. God is righteous and He don't need your stinking righteousness added to Him. Well, you're robbing from one of His attributes. Only He could pay the penalty. That's the point of the sinless nature. We see righteousness. We see justice. We see sovereignty. We see God's wisdom. The planning and the ordering of such a great salvation. You see His wisdom. We see His love. For it is only at the cross that we know that God loves us. It's only at the cross that John 3:16 makes any sense. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Only at the cross can you understand that love. Jesus revealed these attributes of the Father fully, fully by His death. His obedience to the Father's will in dying fully glorified Him. This is God's glory and the glory of Jesus Christ. And He is not going to share His glory with no other. If Christ's atoning work is finished, and if it has been accepted by the Father, then how dangerous it is, and what ingratitude it shows if we think that we can add to it. Many do not disbelieve in Christ's work, specifically, but neither do they trust it wholly. They try to add to it by tears and confessions and charity and every other good work. They suppose that God, by these works of theirs, will be gracious to them and save them at last. What an insult to God. It is insulting to suppose that you could add to that salvation that He, in His own great love and His own wisdom, planned before the foundation of the world and then brought to completion in time through the death of Jesus Christ. Will you turn from your work to Christ, or has He died in vain? Turn to Galatians 2. Is this the charge that lays over your bed when you lay your head down at night? I pray to God that if it is, that you repent of it. Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Are you setting the righteousness of God? I'm sorry. Are you setting aside the grace of God? Are you making righteousness a mockery? Has Christ died in vain for you? Or shall you be as a Catholic? He just gave me a little kickstart. That's what Catholicism teaches. He paid for your original sin. Now you're on your own. Has Christ died in vain to you? Christ's work is the great work, the all-sufficient work, the certain work. It is the only work God will accept. What is the work of God? Joe taught on this. Turn to John 6 in case you forgot. What is the only work that is acceptable by God? John 6, verses 28 and 29. Then they said to Him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." Okay? That's what you can do. You believe in Him who God sent. Jesus Christ. That's what you can do. Believe in Him. And he's even going to give you the faith to do that. If Christ's atoning work is really a finished work, and if God has accepted it as the only way of salvation, let that be your proclamation. We have an obligation. You are obliged to make this gospel known. It should be a joy for us. Many need to hear it. All the garbage going out in the land. People don't even have a clue what the gospel is. They give you 150-something different things what the gospel is. It better have all of those ingredients in some way, shape, or form. All that is necessary for our salvation has been done by Christ. He has died. It is finished. Shouted from the rooftops. Most people think they are pleasing God by their good lives. I just heard it yesterday. But they are not. Cannot. Nor need they. Nor need they try. It is finished. The work is done. The Jews, the Catholics, the Greek Orthodox, the cultists, they need the gospel. It is finished. They have one thing in common. They all bring their good works. Will you tell them? But do you believe this truth yourself? How can you tell these people when you really don't believe this truth yourself? You're continually adding to the work of Christ in some way, shape, or form. It is finished. The telestai, the work is done. That handwriting, when you was a criminal in the Roman times, they put all the charges over your jail cell. All the charges pinned up over the jail cell. And when they were paid, it was taken down, and the seal was put on it, paid in full, to tell us that. Free to go. That's what it is. If you're going to be saved by your works and your repentance and your weeping and your prayers and fasting and everything else, I ask you this question. Where is the new handwriting coming from? Is there another list that he's making up with your new sins on them? If you're going to tell me what those were your past sins, okay? If there's a new handwriting of ordinances that are against you, well, how are these ones getting paid for? He took all of them, past, present, future, eternal, all your sins, and nailed them to the cross. What happens is experientially, not judiciously, experientially, the Lord turns his face away from you while you're in your sins, while you're not repenting of your sins, while you're running the other way. And it's to teach you. It's to teach you. It's to cause you to grow. It's not to punish you. It's to chastise you as a disobedient child. That's what your sins do now. It takes you out of fellowship from the Father. What are you telling me? If you sin on the last day of your life, you're going to hell. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to sin on the last day of your life because every one of us sinned here today. So everyone here is going to hell. If you're going to pay it, if that handwriting hasn't been taken and nailed to the cross, you got a problem. You got new paperwork that somebody got to take care of. And I can tell you who's going to take care of it. That's you and your good works. That's the only answer you got. Because Christ ain't dying again. It says, my Bible says he died once. That sacrifice, one time, one shot. That's it. Remember that Christ did not his own work, but rather that which was given to him by God. This work has been given to him by God. We want to get on the program here. He gave him the work to do. You must ask, am I doing what God has given me to do? See, that's where we got the problem. We're too busy trying to be messiahs. We want to do the Mashiach's work when the Mashiach did his work. What has he given me to do? Are we going to do all of the work that he's called us to do? Or have you slipped your own little plans in somewhere along the line? See? And you cease to save him. If you do not have the time to tell others about the gospel or work to bring them to where they may hear it, maybe it's you're too busy. Perhaps you're not doing the work that God has given you to do at all. See, we're busy trying to be messiahs, and we're not even doing the work that he called us to do. You know what God called you to do. You know full well. Unless you're that much in rebellion that you don't even know what he did. Or if you're dead in your sins and trespasses, the work you need to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you shall be damned. You cannot say as Jesus did, I have completed the work you gave me to do. There's nobody here that can say that. I am working at the work you gave me to do. If this describes your condition, then the message of the text is this. If you say to me, I'm doing what the Lord told me to do, Bill, Okay. Keep at it. Do not quit. Hold on to what the Lord has entrusted you with. Stand firm. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right. Press on, soldier. If you tell me you're doing the work that he's called you to do in order that you can glorify God and finish the work that he gave you to do, your work may have heavy burdens. It may be unspectacular. Most works are like this. That's why it's called work. Most work is not too spectacular. But so was Christ's work. People spit on him, pulled his beard, cursed him out. That was Christ's work. I would tell you to receive this encouragement if you are working the works that God has called you. While it is true that you and I will never fully finish our work in the sense of having it done to perfection, we can nevertheless finish it with hanging on to the end. Christ helping us. He told you you're in a race to finish it. He never told you to be perfect in this race. A lot of us are perfectionists, and we're trying to run this race perfectly. You can't do it perfectly. We can put a lot of finish in it, though, by improving our service constantly by the grace that is given to us. I have finished the work which you gave me to do, said Jesus. We are to finish the work that he has given us to do. Why? In order that we can glorify the Father. Now you ask, well, where did this work come from? What does it say? If the Father prepared a body for Jesus Christ, then what did he do with us? Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. See? He prepared a work for us, just as he prepared a work for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had one work, we have another work. But we are still the Father's workmanship. And when were those works created? Before the foundations of the world. What is the work God requires of us? I just showed you in John 6:29 that you would believe. Do you believe, first of all? Do you believe? If you don't believe, your works are as filthy rags. Filthy rags. If you don't believe, your works shall damn you, and they don't mean nothing. If you believe, you are to do the works that he called you to do. How else can I glorify God on the earth? What does glorify mean? It means to honor God, to worship God, to exalt God. This is what it means to glorify God. Are you honoring God? Are you worshiping God? Are you exalting God on earth? What you believe is manifested in your actions. If you say, Bill, I believe this, guess what? I'm watching for your actions. What you believe is manifested in your actions. He tells us what? To finish the work day by day. See, most of us, okay, went about 5 feet on that work. I guess that wasn't the Lord's will. Let me get on to the next one. That's not what it means to finish the work that he's given me. You got to have some perseverance. It means, first of all, just a little practical thing so we get everybody involved right now. You ask me, what's the work of God? All right. Husbands, love your wives. You want to glorify God on this earth? You want to tell me I glorified him on the earth? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. You want to worship God, exalt God, honor God? Wives, submit to your husbands. Fathers, train up your children. Children, honor your fathers and your mothers in order that you would live a long life. Elders, rule well. Congregation, give the elders double honor. Single men, remain pure. Single women, remain chaste. Love the Lord thy God with all your mind, your strength, your heart, and your soul. You want to know what the work of God is? Mm-hmm. There you go. There's the work of God. Finish that work that he's given you. Did I touch everybody there? Husbands, wives, fathers, children? Did I get everybody? Congregation? Consider the fact that Christ's work was to make an atonement for your sins. He came, was put to death, was made a little lower than the angels, right? He come, he did not consider it a robbery. Him that was equal with the Father came to make atonement for your sins, a propitiation for your sins. Also, he died for the sins of his people. Jesus Christ come to die for your sins. And that he fulfilled the just demands of the law for you. He became a curse for you. That was his work that he had to finish. That's why the Father turned away when Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, he became the curse. See, that was the work he had to do. He glorified the Father on the earth. He finished the work the Father had given him to do. After considering all of these facts, after considering all of these facts that's been brought before you today, out of loving gratitude, out of loving gratitude, as a submissive wife loves her husband, do you think that is unreasonable that by the grace of God, that in loving gratitude, that you should finish the work that God has given you to do? Should you not finish that work? Should you just keep on 2 steps, 3 back? 4 steps, 18 back? You're never finishing the work that God gave you to do. Should you not finish the work that God has given you to do in order that you could say as Christ said, in your little sphere of life, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. See? The Father has given you a work to do. And his will is that you finish that work. But the work is to be finished out of loving gratitude to this beautiful Savior of ours. Just like the wife serves the husband out of loving gratitude. That's supposed to be the response. You were married to the law. Now you've been married to Christ. Your old husband has died. Now you have a new husband, Jesus Christ. And he says to you, wife, finish the work that I gave you to do. I know you're going to burn the test, the toast, and you're going to break dishes, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and all of these things. But I want you to serve me out of loving gratitude. And while I'm out on this journey, I went back to heaven to prepare the place for you. Bride, please, bride, bride, bride. I'm just asking you to do the thing I asked you to do. Finish that work I asked you to do. And I understand. Some of us who make good toast, some of us bad toast. Some good lasagna, some bad lasagna. All of us are not going to work the same way. But he tells you to finish the work that he's called you to do. And know that he said, I went to prepare a place for you. And that's never going to be taken away if you burn his toast every day. God says, I hate divorce. He doesn't divorce his bride. But he does call her to serve in love and obedience. But out of gratitude. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, that you delivered us from the curse. That you prepared a body that was satisfactory to you. You prepared a body for Jesus Christ. And you sent him forth to finish this work. You sent him forth for the work of the atonement, for the propitiation, for the reconciliation of sinful men and women. We were all like Gomer, dear Lord. You should have left us in the slave market, but you kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And we thank you, dear Lord, for redeeming a people for yourself. And we would pray, dear Lord, for the strength, for the dunamis, for the power, dear Lord, to finish the work that you've given all of us to do, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray that the work that we do, it would be out of love and gratitude, that it would not be out of a slavish mentality. That's the way the old husband speaks. Burn the toast, you're done. You're divorced. This is not the way the master speaks now whom you're married to. The one that you're married to now says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we wait for you, Lord. And we look up for our redemption draweth near. And dear Heavenly Father, I would ask, dear Lord, that if there be any in our midst or listening to this by tape, dear Heavenly Father, that have tried to earn heaven to earn your good pleasure by keeping the law, dear Lord, that you would absolutely crush them, that you would kill them with that law, that they would know that the wages of sin, one sin is death, but that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you had mercy upon our souls, that you did not leave us in that state, but you raised us from the dead and seated us with this blessed Savior. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would now convict those that need to be convicted over their lack of perseverance, or their quitting time in and time again, that you would convict them. And I would lift up those, dear Lord, that need comfort, dear Heavenly Father, that are always feeling that you're damning them. Whereas you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Who is he that condemns? Is it not God who justifies? And we thank you, dear Lord, for justifying us and for imparting the righteousness of Jesus Christ, imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. And dear Lord, we thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.